But now it's 8:30, and time for Saturday Night Theatre.
We present Martin Reed as Matthew Bradford and Margaret Robertson as Marlene Shapiro in The Fatal Flaw by Chris Allen.
To hell with her.
Calm down, Matthew.
I'm just angry at the unfairness of
it. Don't wave your arms about. Those kids at soccer practice, they're watching us.
Does it matter?
I'm giving them a drama lesson in half an hour. It matters.
Jenny, I'm sorry. It's just her selfishness. It gets to me. I've got a novel being published on Thursday, so what does Susan do? She walks out on Sunday. She's self-centered, insensitive.
Okay, all right.
It is not all right.
Don't shout at me. I'm on your side.
Sorry.
Keep calm. You've got an afternoon's work ahead.
No, I haven't. I've got the afternoon off. I'm going on the radio.
Oh, are you? That's great.
About the book. I'm going to be interviewed.
I'm not sure about this, John.
Well, it's a trick one, my love. I did warn you.
I think...
Go on, girl. Have a go. Let rip, my love.
I think... Is it Victor?
Victor the giraffe. You got it! At last, we got a winner. A winner of our Silly Things quiz. Janice of Hales Owen, congratulations, my love. A Radio Heart of England T-shirt will be winging its way towards your eager little bod. Together with a Radio Heart of England surprise package of Silly Things. Terrific. Well, great excitement, Matthew, eh?
Oh, yes. Great.
Yeah, he's still here, gang. Our art spot guest from the world of culture and grey matter and all that, Matthew Bradford. He's a flippin' genius, is Matthew. Teaches English at, where is it?
History, actually, at Handley Green Comprehensive.
English, history, all the same, 6 and 2 threes. But not only does he drum dates into our grubby little offspring, he's just had his first novel published. Right, Matt?
It is, in fact, my second novel.
Well, prolific, no less. Great. It's called, what is it? The Wind in the Smoke. Remember that name, gang?
It's actually called The Smoke on the Wind.
Oh, good title. Good title. I like it. Listen, you were just saying, Matthew, before we were so brilliantly interrupted by Janice of Hales Owen, the story is set around here, right?
Mm.
The heart of England country. Are we going to recognise ourselves in it?
Well, not really. It's set over 100 years ago.
Oh, beg pardon. Good story, is it? I know my mum. Typical Joe Public. Oh, she loves a good story.
Well, I hope it's a good story. It's about an ordinary working family in what we now know as the Black Country and how they're affected by the Industrial Revolution.
Oh. Hear that, Mum? Right up your street. Listen, Matt, I'm just going to have to interrupt you there, but stay with us, everybody. We just got to zap across to Big Al for the sports news.
Hello, Glenn. What is it?
Look what I got yesterday. It is you, isn't it? Will you sign it?
The Smoke on the Wind. Yes, that's me. You didn't actually buy it, did you?
Oh, it was cheap. Third of the original price.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, look. My mum said it was you, because a few months ago she heard you talking about it on the radio.
Third of the price. It's been remaindered. Typical. And they don't tell you anything.
Oh, put Claire Bennett with kind regards and the date. What's remaindered actually mean?
Well, the publishers didn't sell quite as many millions as they'd hoped, so they're flogging it off cheap. There you are.
Duh.
That's the only copy I've ever autographed. Worth a fortune. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm off for a cup of tea.
Is it bad, then, this remaindering business?
Well, it's disappointing. The second one's always more difficult than the first, you see. If that goes okay, then you've got a chance of carrying on, actually developing a career as a novelist.
Well, I thought you were quite pleased.
I suppose I was hoping for a bit of a breakthrough.
It may not be too late.
No, it's had it. It's got lost. No, I blame the publishers, really. I mean, all this takeover business, just at the moment when my book came out. Everybody forgot about it. No publicity. I even had to ring up the papers and the radio stations myself.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
You see, I thought with these Americans taking over, the Vulture Press, I thought, aha, now we'll get a bit of razzmatazz, a bit of transatlantic hype. But no, I don't suppose they even knew they got the book out till they looked in the accounts. And right away, they pulled the plugs on it.
The bell's rung. Better get back to the grindstone.
The point is, Jenny, where do I go from here? What's going to happen to the next one? They've had it months, unless they've already chucked it in the dustbin.
Matthew, I am interested, really. But I've got 50 12-year-olds waiting to be acorns growing into oak trees.
You're right. Let's go.
Hey, I tell you what, come round for a meal. Come round tonight.
Will that be all right?
Yes, of course. Barry said to invite you round ages ago. When he heard about you and Susan.
The lovely Susan. He's heard then, has he?
Well, you do hear things, don't you?
I suppose so.
Mind you, I wasn't surprised, Matthew.
Not surprised? I thought we were the ideal couple.
No commitment.
What?
You had no commitment to Susan.
The lovely Susan.
And no commitment to your marital situation.
Barry, that is rubbish.
Your commitment, Matthew. No criticism, purely observation. Your commitment was not to your home, not even to your teaching. It was to your writing. Still is, from what I can
see. Barry, what about your darts?
Oh, I suppose there is something in that.
Of course there is. Now me, I have commitment to my wife and to my home. And this is why our marriage works. And this commitment will extend itself through our expansion into a family as Jennifer gives up work and, to put it crudely, produces offspring.
We'll see about that, Barry.
Because I am committed and alert to her needs.
I've not been totally insensitive, you know.
Well, that is not the same as being alert to needs, obviously. Otherwise, Susan would never have got herself involved in her extramarital affair situation, would she?
Affair?
Oh, God, Barry.
Ah. Have I perhaps gone too far?
Perhaps. Perhaps you have.
Oh, I don't blame Barry for blurting it out.
You do understand, don't you? It's not common knowledge about Susan and Graham.
It's all right. Susan's out of my life. Still, he's probably right about my commitment. It is to writing, I admit, not to being married. Well, let's face it. Anybody can be a husband. Not many can be a novelist. Mind you, I'm not sure I can be anymore.
Oh, now, stop that. It'll work out.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, don't get down.
Well, how can I not? They've obviously given up on the smoke on the wind. So where does that leave the next one? I mean, Henry hasn't even been in touch.
Who's Henry?
Oh, Henry Bryant, my editor. He virtually nursed my first two books into publication. You see, Harveys were always quite traditional publishers. Slow, but at least they looked after you. Suddenly, I find these Americans have taken over. The Vulture Press.
Who are they?
Subsidiary of some, in quotes, huge, faceless conglomerate. GME Inc. They do everything from mining South African diamonds to subverting governments in Central America. And destroying sensitive authors.
Look, you mustn't just sit round feeling sorry for yourself. Do something about it. Ring up this Henry Bryant.
I can't.
Why not?
I'm nervous. He might not have liked the book.
Then at least he'll know. Ring him up. Tomorrow. Go straight home from school, ring him up. Put us both out of our misery.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, just do it.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks. You're a good mate. If only you weren't a married woman.
Come off it, Matthew. I'm not glamorous enough for you.
Global Marketing and Exchange, may I help you?
Is that the Vulture Press?
Will you hold?
Thank you for holding.
Hang on a minute.
We apologize for keeping you waiting, but hope you will enjoy the music we are pleased to provide for your listening pleasure.
The hell is this?
Thank you.
Global Marketing and Exchange, may I help you?
GME, is that?
Yes.
I want to speak to Henry Bryant.
What division?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, we're unable to help.
He used to be with Harveys. Vulture Press, I suppose.
One moment.
Oh, God.
Thank you for holding. We apologize.
Vulture Press, may I help you?
Yes, thanks. I'm trying to get hold of Henry Bryant.
I'm sorry, sir, we have no Henry Bryant.
Well, you must have. He's an editor.
An editor? Oh, in that case, sir, you require our creative division.
I see. Well, thank you. Could you put me onto your creative division, please?
I'm afraid you'll have to dial another number, sir.
Oh, no, look, this is long distance.
From outside London, please dial 01...
Look, hang on, I haven't got a pencil. Let me just get one.
I'll have to put you on hold, sir. One moment.
Oh.
Thank you for holding. We apologize for keeping you waiting, but hope you will enjoy the music we are pleased to provide for your listening pleasure.
And after all that, you didn't even speak to him.
No, he's left.
Oh, no.
Transferred to New York.
So who's handling your work?
Well, if she is, supposedly some woman called Marlene Shapiro.
Marlene Shapiro?
American, presumably.
Presumably.
But didn't you speak to her?
You're joking. She's in Chicago.
Oh, Matthew.
What about your agents? What did they say?
Oh, I can't bother them.
Surely they can fight for you?
It all seems so hopeless.
You can't simply give up.
Look, it's the end of term next week. Go down to London, see them.
Oh, it's not that easy.
It is. Go on. Ring them up now. Make an appointment. I'll do it. What are they called?
All right, I'll do it. Tell you what, why don't you come down with me?
Well, I'd love to. But I better not. Barry.
Fair enough. Right, I'll go and make this appointment.
I'm sorry, Matthew, that Muriel couldn't be here, because, of course, she knows your work.
I'm sorry she's ill.
Simply an operation. A whole lot's coming out, I believe.
Oh, I had no idea.
She'll be better off without. Never had much use for it all, as far as I could see. Poor old Muriel. Still, she'll be a new woman. What's left of her? Now then, to business. I don't actually know any of your scripts, Matthew.
Novels.
Well, novels, yes. Thought of turning them into screenplays at all?
Oh, yes, I certainly have. But we've had no luck selling the rights.
Yes, yes. I must say, just glancing at these synopses, iron foundries, working class characters, 19th century Wolverhampton, they've not got immediate appeal to the major studios, have they?
They're not particularly meant to.
Mind you, it's amazing what a spot of artistic ruthlessness can do. Translate your stories to, say, Detroit in perhaps the 50s, and suddenly you could be in the movie business.
But Dennis, I write a novel for itself, not as the first draft of a Hollywood film.
Don't worry, you've got time to learn.
Muriel has never suggested it.
Mr. Foster.
Ah, Ruth, what news?
I've looked everywhere. We really have had no word back from Vulture about Mr. Bradford, but I have
it's
checked
been nearly 10 months.
10 months? Oh, that's too much. What's it called, by the way? This latest one.
Furnace.
Oh, very good. Yes, that's good. What's it about?
An industrial confrontation in a smelting works.
Oh, I see. In 19th century Wolverhampton?
More Tipton, really.
Mr. Foster, I must answer that. I just wanted to tell you I have actually sent some short stories by Mr. Bradford to Miss Shapiro.
You see, Matthew, we are fighting for you.
It was in response to a general request for material.
But subtly.
Well, that is something, I suppose.
They want to do an anthology of horror stories.
There you are. Progress.
I've never written horror stories. None of mine would be suitable for that sort of...
Don't worry. It'll all come out in the wash. I dare say I'll be having a word with Marlene Shapiro. Well, I'm sure Muriel will, just as soon as she's back on her feet. If they've left her any feet, that is.
So what do we do now?
We wait and see. But don't forget, we're with you all the way. You are not alone.
Well, that's something, isn't it?
Except it's not true.
Of course it is.
I am alone.
Rubbish. At the very least, you know your agents are on your side.
No, they're not. They're on their own side. What are they actually going to do? Nothing. All I know is I'm isolated.
You're not.
I've no contact with my publisher, no real support from my agents, and no wife.
You've got friends.
Oh, colleagues, acquaintances, yes. I don't know if you've noticed, but a marriage breakup can seriously damage a social life. When Susan left, I got the stereo. She got the friends.
This is self-pity.
This is honesty. I spent 36 years trying to put a life together, Jenny, and what happens? It just starts falling apart. Isolated? Of course I'm bloody isolated.
You? Who are you saying this to?
What?
Well, can't you see? I'm with you.
I know that.
Obviously, it doesn't seem like much.
Oh, don't get it wrong, Jenny.
I may not have Susan's looks or wonderful imagination.
Oh, come on.
But I am interested in you. I even believe in you. I listen, I care, I try and help. If that's not being a friend, I don't know what is.
I know that and I appreciate it.
It doesn't sound like it.
Well, that's why I can talk to you like this, freely. I don't mean to be churlish. I'm just letting go with what I feel. Look, have another drink, and then I'll take you for something to eat.
I can't. I have to cook dinner for Barry.
Jenny, you're not a servant.
But I tell you what. He's away all day Thursday. You could give me lunch then, if you like.
Yes. Okay.
Right. See you in here? Thursday, 12:30?
Yeah. See you Thursday. Hello?
Matthew Bradford, please.
Speaking.
Vulture Press here. This is Ellen from Marlene Shapiro's office.
Oh, really?
Miss Shapiro wants to meet with you. When can you get down to London?
Anytime, really.
Oh, good. Can you be here at 11:30 a.m. on Thursday?
Thursday? Yes, I'm free on Thursday. That's fine.
Good. Thursday the 24th at 11:30. We'll leave a visitor's pass on reception. Thank you.
Ellen, I want to devote a significant portion of my pre-lunch schedule to Matthew for in-depth discussion and analysis. So don't disturb us, okay?
Certainly.
Unless it's some bronze-talking beach bum offering to screw me tonight. Okay.
No way, Marlene. I keep him for myself.
Matthew. Furness. Nervous?
I am a bit. You've read it.
It has been read. My readers have synopsized it, and I've studied their analysis in correlation with the sales charts of your earlier fictions. I've come up with some pretty specific conclusions.
Oh, yes?
It's no good to us, Matthew.
No good?
To us. Its market potential is comprehensively minimal. Iron melting.
Smelting.
The British Midlands, 1850. We've got all that in Dickens. Now, the report says, no reader relevance, little character identification stimulus. Well, this is clearly why your previous fictions went down the toilet.
But they didn't. Harveys were quite pleased.
Quite pleased is not good enough for us, Matthew. If one of our products is not making significant market inroads, it's more value to us as pulp. Now, I'll be frank. You want me to be frank.
Well,
I'll tell you straight. Forget about writing this kind of fiction. It's doomed. I see you're a history teacher.
Mm.
Well, it reads like you're a history teacher. The buying public want a storyteller.
But you don't know how it reads. You haven't even actually read it.
Matthew, I studied the reports.
Yeah, but the writing, it might be brilliant for all you know. The actual writing.
Who gives one? What kind of identity image could we create out of that? The story's zilch, but you'll love the placing of the semicolons. Forget it.
But that was over a year's work. I can't just forget it. And it works. I know it. Furness is a good novel. I know it.
You teach kids, right?
What? Yes, yes, I do.
And you've had two fictions published?
Yes.
Matthew, if those fictions had been correctly conceived, created, and marketed, you should never need to see another kid, let alone teach one. Okay. I've told you the bad news. Describe to me your reactions.
My reactions?
Yes. Describe them.
Well, what do you expect? I feel shattered, numb.
Okay. Now, this is the low point. You have experienced the depths, Matthew. From now on, experiences improve. If that's what you want.
I'm sorry, you're losing me.
Let's have lunch.
Lunch?
Ellen, cancel the canard.
It was never my idea to send you those short stories. They're early works, and in any case, they're not horror stories. Each one's a little psychological exploration.
I read one of your stories, Matthew.
You mean you read a synopsis?
No, no, I read the story.
I thought you only read reports.
When I'm given a green for go 80% analysis response, I read the story. And when I read the story you've titled A Family Business, I immediately saw that it had something.
But it's not a horror story. It wouldn't fit into your anthology.
Yeah, sure, forget that. I'll tell you what it has. Potential.
Potential?
In itself, it's nothing. But if that's what you want, it could be something. Really something.
Well, I don't know. It is what it is.
But it's not yet what it could be. Do you want power?
Power? What sort of power?
Power of your own life. Power not to have to work slavery hours to subsidize your art. Power to decide what you want to do. Power that will melt women with your strength and have them grasp at your ankles.
Oh, come on. You sound like a Harold Robbins novel.
Not far out, Matthew. I was quoting a paragraph I created for Linda Reston's Hollywood and Gomorrah. 5.5 million paperback sales in the U.S. alone. So now Linda has that power. One huge blockbuster and her life is set free. so is her talent. And she can write more best-selling fictions if she chooses, or she can play at being Marcel Proust. But she now has the power to choose.
So what are you saying?
Do you want that power? Really want it?
I suppose everybody does, in their own way.
I'm talking about you.
Okay. Yes.
Right. Well, Matthew, a family business can give you that power.
It's a 30-page story.
Sure, that's the first thing you got wrong. It should be 10 times that, 20. Tell me the concept.
The concept?
The idea behind the story.
Well, as I remember, it's about a big, powerful, wealthy family. Very well known, always in the public eye, but behind that, and in secret, the men of the family all suffer from this hereditary psychological quirk. Hmm. And really, the story's about the devastating effects of this quirk on the current young heir to the family fortune.
That's not what the story's about.
Yes, it is. It's an exploration of a fortunate young man's mind in a kind of extremity of misfortune.
You haven't told me what the quirk is.
Oh, you've read it.
Tell me.
All right. The quirk is that each of the males of the family occasionally vanishes for a night and commits a sadistic sex murder.
Right. Jack the Ripper.
Well, that's it. The story was set off by the theory that Jack the Ripper was, in fact, one of the royal dukes. Clarence, I think it was.
Doesn't matter. But that's your story. Secret murders, all hushed up, sordid, violent sexuality, set against the continuing saga of a wealthy, privileged family throughout the generations. It is simply beautiful. Forget the psychology. Think of the thrills. It really has got the lot. And I want you to write it as a full-length fiction, 625 pages.
Oh, I don't really think that's the sort
More money than you've ever imagined, Matthew. 8-figure sales worldwide, I guarantee. Power, freedom, forever.
Well, I'm a bit taken aback. That aspect is very tempting.
You bet it's tempting. And you'll never come up with another concept of that international viability in the rest of your life.
Well, that could be true. Oh, I know the sort of book you've got in mind. One of those big, blockbusting sagas.
With the most brilliant twist ever.
Just the sort of book I hate and despise. It may sound pompous, but I do believe in the integrity of the English novel, the great tradition. That's what I want to work in. Not have my name on some money-spinning bestseller with a big-breasted nude on the cover.
So you write it under a pseudonym.
Oh, I don't know. Now, I very much doubt whether I could even do it. Not how you'd want. My mind just doesn't work like that.
Maybe not, but my mind does.
I don't think I could write what's needed.
You could. If I told you what was needed, you could write it. And I'd sure tell you.
On the other hand... Oh, I don't know. I just don't know what to do.
Oh, think about it. Take your time. No one's going to rush you. Let me know tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
I'll get Ellen to check you into a hotel, and I'll call you in the morning. Yeah,
but I don't know if
You'll do it, Matthew. You'll do it.
Yes? Hello?
Morning, Matthew. Sleep well?
Fine. What time is it? Must have overslept. Hang on. It's only 5:30.
That's right. Bath, shave, meet me for breakfast at the Canard at 7.
Oh, God. What is all this?
My success method, Matthew. By the way, I got our title.
Our title?
Yeah. It drives hard home on what's going to be our major selling posture. Now, hear this. We'll call it The Fatal Flaw.
The Fatal Flaw?
But that's flaw. F-L-A-W.
Yes, I gathered.
It's a title I've been looking to use for quite a while.
But you can't just impose a title.
Good titles are money in the bank, Matthew, and I've had this one fully market analyzed.
Look, Marlene, I haven't necessarily decided to go along with all this, you know.
Oh, you will. You will.
Matthew, there's no doubt in my mind you've made absolutely the right decision.
Well, I hope so, Dennis. I think so.
I know so. Absolutely no question. I'm very excited about this deal. You've hit lucky with Marlene Shapiro.
Shouldn't we talk to Muriel about it?
Oh, no, no. Not in her condition. And with the figures involved, it's more appropriate that I should handle this one. You do realize, do you, that we're getting an absolutely incredible advance for a first novel?
But it's not my first novel.
No, quite. But it is Matt Brand's first novel.
Matt Brand?
Good international name. Any foreigner in any airport bookstore in the world should manage to get his tongue round that. Matt Brand. Excellent.
Dennis, am I Matt Brand?
I thought all this had been agreed. A pseudonym.
Well, we hadn't mentioned it, but...
Oh, quite. Good. Well, I think we can allow ourselves a moment of celebration. Would you care for a small creme de menthe to speed Matt Brand successfully on his way?
Hello.
Matthew Bradford, please.
Speaking.
This is Ellen from Marlene Shapiro's office.
Oh.
I have a message from Miss Shapiro. She wants you to set the fatal flaw in Baltimore.
Baltimore?
Baltimore, Maryland.
She's decided this, has she?
That's right. And she wants the family to have made their fortune in the insurance business.
Oh, does she? Well, I'm not sure that I agree with that idea. Can I speak to Marlene, please?
I'm afraid not. Miss Shapiro is in Singapore. But she wants to know if you're familiar with the insurance business background from 1870 to the present day.
Well, of course I'm not.
We assume that to be the case. So we've prepared a background material research package to assist you in preparation of your story later.
Ellen, just a minute. I want to talk this over with Marlene.
Miss Shapiro looks forward to reading your completed story layout on her return from the Far East. And to meeting with you on Monday the 28th, as arranged.
Now, hang on.
Thank you, Mr. Bradford. Good morning.
It's all rather breathtaking, Matthew.
I know. Things have happened so fast. It's very exciting, you know. I'm giving away 9 months of my life, but in return, I'm getting freedom, real freedom.
I wish I knew what's really going on, what you're actually going to be writing.
Oh, I wish I could tell you, but I can't. That's in the contract. Eventually, if it all works out, I will be able to explain. I think I will, anyway.
And they want you down in London to keep an eye on you?
Well, to work with me. Every day, apparently, I'll be discussing my progress with this editor woman, Marlene.
Like being in school.
All part of the bargain. And once I'm down there, I have to keep all my work within the GME building. Even my jotted notes will have to stay in the office, under lock and key.
Oh, extraordinary. Will you be able to put up with it?
Well, it is only 9 months. And there's a luxury flat near Marble Arch, all paid for. And a car to take me to work and back. The glamorous life.
Nice. And have you already resigned from school?
Yes, I have.
What about your flat?
Susan, I've agreed with her solicitor, will be selling the flat.
Oh, I see. So, when will you be moving down to London?
Oh, this is really why I popped round, you see.
Oh, is it? To say goodbye?
That's right. I'm off tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow?
I said things happen fast.
I shall miss you.
Yes. I hope you'll be all right.
It's funny. I watched your life changing these last few months. I thought of changing my life.
You must never get trapped, Jenny.
I'd somehow had the feeling just lately we might be helping each other to change.
You encouraged me, you know. You're the one who encouraged me.
Yes, I am, aren't I?
Barry's all right, you know.
Oh, yes, all right. That's what Barry is.
Well, I better go. Collect the dry cleaning. Get packing.
Yes. I shall miss you.
Yeah. Me too.
Funny, we never did meet for that lunch, did we?
Take a seat, Matthew. I want to concentrate on the hook.
The hook?
How we start, where we want to lead.
Well, hang on a minute. You haven't said what you think of my story outline.
Oh, it's fine, Matthew. As a working document, it's fine. It contains some useful points of reference.
It was a big leap for me, you know, to move the whole story from England to Baltimore, to shift the Turner family business into insurance from department stores.
But you did it, which is good. I like my authors to be flexible, Matthew. Saves me having to change my mind. Okay, so much for the pleasantries. Now, the hook. Now, I see this very clearly. It has to be London, 1890.
London, 1890?
You mentioned Jack the Ripper, and I buy that. Okay. We should hit straight in with a slice of Jack the Ripper action.
Yeah, but my story doesn't start till the 1920s, the first of the three generations.
That's good. 1920 is very good. A vivid time in the public imagination. You've beamed in very shrewdly on all of that.
Oh, well, thanks.
1920. That is excellent. But not for the hook.
If that's where we set the story...
Let me just explain what we're looking for in this segment of the fiction.
Well, the reader's attention, obviously.
Right. We have to grab it. The attention of our potential purchasing unit.
Oh, sorry, purchasing unit.
He's the fish. Our opening chapter is the bait. It has to grab him so he can't let go, and he buys. That's why we call it The Hook. He's bought the fiction, even though all the other chapters could be a pile of junk. With me?
I can't be that cynical, but I do see the point.
This is good. Now, the fatal flaw is going to tempt him with a hint of mystery, seduce him with a throb of sexual overtone, and then grab him with a sudden act of violence.
The purchasing unit is hooked and he buys. Is that it?
You got it. For a teacher, you learn fast.
The eyes stared up remorselessly at the heavily breathing figure, but they were dead eyes. There was a sudden gleam of light as the figure slipped the blade silently beneath his cape. A scurry of leaves...
Silent and deadly.
What?
Slipped the blade silent and deadly beneath his... whatever you said. And the sudden gleam of light, that should be diamond-like.
You sure?
Why not? This is an upmarket murderer. Go on.
Well, that's almost it. A scurry of leaves, and then no sound but the shudder of a light evening breeze among the trees.
Not bad. Yeah, that's not bad.
Seems like rubbish to me, Marlene. God, it's so calculated.
That girl, she shouldn't be wearing a corset. Maybe no underwear at all.
This is 1890.
Which makes it more exciting. Yeah, we should have her a little foxy. She likes to feel the sensuous play of silk on her naked skin.
I can't write softcore porn.
Oh, don't worry, I'll heighten those elements. Okay, you've done a good job. We have the beginnings of an opening. Leave it with me, I'll make some notes for your rewrite. So now, we cut ahead to your 1920s.
Yeah, but look, now we've set up this whole Victorian London thing, I think we should explore it. There's a whole theme here of the differences between the public and private behaviour of the Victorian upper-middle classes. I mean, maybe this hypocrisy is what contributed to the warping of this man's mind, bringing out the hereditary thing in the Turner family. I mean, actually, this is just a thought. But maybe there's something in the social climate of every generation which sets off this quirk, their fatal flaw.
Interesting notion, Matthew. You should turn it into a thesis.
But it would lend the book a sort of psychological complexity.
Who gives one? We're here to thrill people, not train them for university degrees. Okay, chapter 2.
Oh, for God's sake.
And we need to meet a beautiful young woman at this point. We'll focus in on the girl Mary. Mary. Oh, we'll change that.
Mary's no great beauty. She's an intellectual.
No, she's a young woman of beauty and privilege, and she loves to screw, but hygienically.
Presumably this is in Baltimore, is it?
That's right.
Well, shouldn't we establish Baltimore?
Sure. We do that in two words at the top of the chapter, and I get this down. Baltimore, Maryland. There, it's established. See, we've got to get into the girl. We need to have the women identifying. Money, privilege, old Boston family, I guess. Ivy League background. We'll get you research material and all of that.
Helen said you wanted a word with me.
That's right. It's been bugging me. I'm in Vienna till Tuesday, and I want to leave this with you. Now, listen. Noir Dupont.
Noir Dupont?
The name Turner for our family. It bothers me. It has no resonance. But Noir Dupont. But it flows. It feels like aristocracy.
It's French. It means black of the bridge.
Well, why not?
But it's nonsense. Why would anyone be called black of the bridge? Why would an Anglo-American family have a French name?
Well, it came over with the Conqueror, I guess. Yeah. It gives the whole fiction that kind of intangible, classy feel that sells a product. Well, we're moving along, Matthew, which is good. But now I realize we have developed a problem. A dialogue problem.
The dialogue? But compared with most of the competition, surely the dialogue's rather good. All my characters talk as individuals.
This is our problem.
But I'm trying to make the dialogue real speech.
Right. And the hang-up with real speech is you can't communicate with it. It's not international. We have to use dialogue simply to get across the next piece of information. So it has to be instantly understood in English, plus we got to be able to translate it. Like here. Now, Jack says, New York, some view. Now, you think that's okay?
Well, it's nothing special.
But it's colloquial. What he should say is something like, I am impressed. I can see an immense distance across the whole city of New York, which is spread out like a carpet below me.
Marlene, that is flat, long-winded, and unreal.
It may be flat, long-winded, and unreal, but it'll make sense in Portuguese. Don't tell us how beautiful her apartment was, Matthew. The public don't want your poetic descriptions. They want to know what's in it. You've got the Bloomingdale's catalogue for that year. List some products. Onyx table lamps, jade napkin rings. Oh, the movie premiere. Excellent. Ben-Hur, right on target. But who's at the party? Who's at Sardi's? Have them bump into Douglas Fairbanks. They sit next to Gloria Swanson. Invent a little plausible gossip, Matthew. You're going to like Ziggy, Matthew. He's going to help us a lot.
Oh, good. What with?
The gangster connections, the East Coast underworld. He's the top man on this area.
Oh, that's good. I was waiting for the research.
He provides a little more than research.
Ziggy Martin's here, Marlene.
So what are you waiting for? Get your hands off Mel and send him in here.
Spoil sport. Ziggy, do your clothes up and come on through. Mr. Ziggy Martin.
Marlene, hi. Hello.
Hey,
good to see you.
Ziggy, it's terrific to see you. Come on, sit down. How's the flight? Want a drink?
Oh, thanks. It was fine. And yes, please, in that order.
You look great.
Oh, so do you.
Welcome to London. I'll join you.
Oh, it's good to be here. Hi, I'm Ziggy.
Hello.
Oh, Ziggy, I'm sorry. I'm acting like it's me who's jet-lagged. This is Matthew. Matthew Bradford, Ziggy Martin. Here's your drink.
So, Matthew, you're Matt Brand.
For the purposes of the fatal flaw, yes, I am.
Oh, by the way, I like it. It's coming along really well. It's a great concept.
You've read it, have you?
Well, that's right. Marlene sent me the photostat. It's your current working draft, isn't it? Look, I read the first 7 or 8 chapters on the flight. Strong meat, I liked it.
Marlene, you didn't tell me anybody had read the book. Who else have you shown it to?
Come on, Matthew, don't do a number, okay? Ziggy has to see the fiction. How else does he know the areas in which we need background?
Oh, I'm sorry. Writer's paranoia.
I know it.
Of course, you have to see the work before you know what research material to supply.
As I mentioned to you, Matthew, it's rather more than simply a question of research.
Oh, I'm sorry. What do you mean?
Ziggy's a background writer.
That's right.
He specializes in the gangster world. The mafia, prohibition, the this, the that of the whole 20s and 30s era. He's the top guy.
Yes, but what do you actually do?
Well, this is quite a normal modus operandi. Look,
he's
what I do.
He's going to write the sections of the fatal flaw that relate to the contemporary underworld, the gangster scenes.
Write them?
For God's sake, what do you imagine a background writer does? He writes background.
Right, that's it.
Sit down.
You've gone too far, Marlene. I won't stand for
sit
it.
Sit down, Matthew.
Now, I'm not a difficult bloke. Heaven knows I've gone along with you. I've cooperated.
Ziggy, pour him a drink.
I don't want a drink. All I want is some respect. I've taken a lot, Marlene. You've ridden roughshod over my feelings and my judgments, but I've accepted it. But as far as you're concerned, it turns out I'm just a factory hand. You don't need me for this bit of the assembly process, so you push me aside and bring in someone else. Well, that's it. I'm not going on. I've still got some pride left. Well, you can sue me if you like, but I've had it. That's it, Marlene. I'm going. The fatal flaw, you can stuff it.
8 weeks, 2 days. It's taken him a long time to crack.
Seemed a quiet guy. But he's temperamental, is he?
Oh, he's new, doesn't understand how we operate. No problem. He just needs something to take his mind off the pressure.
Yes?
Matthew?
Yes. Is that Ellen?
Got me in one. Listen, Matthew...
Look, would you please tell Marlene I meant what I said?
Oh, I don't know anything about that. This is social.
Oh, is it? Sorry.
Say, what are you doing tonight?
Tonight? Nothing much. Just fuming quietly.
Yes, I did notice you storming out. You've been very patient, I think. Marlene's such a hard cow. You shouldn't let her get to you.
Oh, it's not that.
Well, we can talk about it later if you want. Come to dinner, 8 o'clock.
Do you know? I'd love to.
Great. Here's the address. You ready?
Hi.
Hello.
Sorry I'm a bit late.
Oh, don't worry. Nice to see you. Come on in.
Thanks. It's funny seeing you away from Global House. You look quite different.
Trousers. Well, I have to wear skirts at work.
Oh, yes. Ah, I like your flat.
It's not mine, actually. It's, we're guests tonight. This is Julie's flat.
Julie?
Hello. You must be Matthew. I'm Julie.
This is Julie.
Hello. It's nice of you to ask me. Bit of a blind date, really.
My pleasure.
Do you work at GME?
No, not really. Come on through. You know Ziggy, don't you?
Ziggy?
Matthew, hi.
Well, you're the last person I expected.
Listen, don't hit me. None of this is my fault. I'm as sorry about today as you are.
No, it's nothing against you.
I assume Marlene would have filled you in.
She put us both in an impossible situation.
She's a manipulator, Matthew. You have to accept that.
That's right, and learn to recognize what she's up to.
Ziggy knows her about it.
That's right. Listen, we're both writers. We should stick together.
Well, that makes sense.
I say, before you all get to talking shop, let's eat this gazpacho before it warms up.
I'm sorry, Ziggy. I just find it such an extraordinary notion. Going around the world writing bits of all these different bestsellers. Were they always bestsellers?
Nearly always.
And yet your bits are always about the same subject.
Not just books. Movies too, you know.
I find it extraordinary. How'd you get into it?
It all started with my doctorate. I did my thesis on North American gangster literature from 1930 to 1935. So I became an expert. Now I guess I've become a whore.
We both have, really. Still, it's an honorable profession, so they say. What do you think, Julie? Are we prostituting our art?
Maybe. I don't know. Still, it's all in a good cause. Is everybody ready for dessert? Pears in red wine. Does that sound all right?
Oh, you're some good cook, Julie.
You know, I rather like him.
Ziggy?
Yeah.
Yes. I rather like him.
I'm glad you asked me.
You deserve it.
Tunnel vision.
What?
That's how I've been operating. Tunnel vision. Ever since I got to London, it's been nothing but that damn book.
You have to let go sometimes.
I was going to chuck it all in today. Over Ziggy. I really was.
Don't give up. Not now. Not after all this work.
I won't. I can cope now. Thanks to you, really.
I'm glad.
Matthew.
Hmm?
Matthew, more coffee?
What? Oh, Julie, sorry. Have I been asleep?
A while, yes.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Where's Ellen? Maybe I could take her home.
She's gone.
Oh, has she?
She's taken Ziggy back with her.
Ziggy?
They're old friends.
Old friends? That sort of old friends?
Right.
So it goes. I'd better push off.
No, don't. There's no need. You could stay here.
Here?
With me.
Would you like me to stay with you?
That is the idea. You'd better have coffee first.
Yes, I think I better had.
By the way, how do you like it?
White, please. No sugar.
No, Matthew. Not the coffee. Hello? Yes, he's here. Matthew. Matthew, it's for you.
Me? Is it Ellen?
No, Marlene Shapiro.
Marlene?
Hurry up and take it. I want to get up and go to the bathroom.
How the hell? Marlene? What's going on?
8 o'clock, time you were on the move.
How did you know where I was? Why are you chasing me at this time of day?
I want you in my office at 9, Matthew, to meet again with Ziggy. I have to be at Heathrow by noon. We need to map out his schedule before I leave, okay?
How do you know I'm coming in at all?
Well, you will be, won't you?
Well, yes, actually. I've decided I will.
So that's okay. Come on, get your ass out of that bed.
Yeah, but how did you know I was here?
I feel concerned for your welfare, Matthew. And don't worry about paying the girl.
Paying the girl? Paying Julie?
Yeah, forget it. It's all being covered by GME. Ellen's fixed the car to pick you up at 8:30. See you at 9.
Julie.
Hang on. Morning. Everything okay? Would you like some muesli? I mix it myself.
Julie, I'm just thinking. Can I come and see you again?
Of course.
Regularly?
If you like.
Twice a week, say, Tuesdays and Fridays?
Yeah, I think I can do that.
And about the money? Can you each time charge it up to Global Marketing and Exchange?
Of course. Well, I would do anyway.
Would you?
Oh, yes, I'm on a retainer. I can do you eggs, you know, if you'd rather. They're free range, really fresh.
Oh, forget it. Forget the whole thing.
Please yourself.
I say it is, isn't it? Matthew.
What?
Matthew Bradford. I saw you right across the bar.
Barry, how are you? Sit down. Have a drink. What are you doing here?
Business. Here, let me.
No, I've got a bottle. Another glass, please. Grab that stool. Sit down.
Jennifer won't believe this.
Jenny, how is she? Can we have that other glass?
Coming, sir.
Give her all my love, will you? And a big kiss.
Yes, okay. So, how's it going then? The glamorous life. We haven't seen you on the telly yet.
Here's the glass, sir. Shall I fetch you another bottle?
Yes, why not? Take it out of that. Thanks. Here we go.
I should buy this one.
Oh, look, I've got all this money. Nothing to spend it on. Now, tell me the news. How are you both? What's Jenny up to?
Cheers. Nice. Listen, we're just the same. What's happening with you? I mean, it must be a year.
Getting on that way. Well, what's happened? Almost finished the book.
This is the best-selling novel, is it? What's it called?
Barry, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm not actually allowed to say.
When's it coming out, then?
Well, again, I can't be very enlightening.
It's a funny business. This is very nice for a house wine.
It's not the house wine, in fact. I wish you'd tell me about Jenny. Think about her a lot, you know.
Yes, well.
Was she happy, sad, still working, what?
Well, she's still working, yes.
I often think of her. I'd love to come up and see her.
I wouldn't bother about that.
When this book's off my hands, only another week or two, I'll come up as a surprise.
No, don't do that.
She'd love it.
It wouldn't be a good idea, Matthew.
Just a friendly visit.
No, you're better off down here.
Barry.
Well, it's been pleasant to meet with you again.
Barry.
All the best. Thanks for the drink. See you.
Here's your other bottle. I had to go downstairs for it. Has your friend gone?
Yeah. He always was a stupid prat. Fancy a drink?
I'm sorry, Matthew. I'm afraid Miss Shapiro's not here at the moment.
I've been looking over the last chapter. I've had one or two ideas. See, I don't actually know what she thinks of it. Sat in my office for a week, heard nothing.
No, well, you wouldn't have done. She's gone to New York.
Oh, God, I've never told anything. I thought she wanted that last chapter to take with her.
I expect she's taken it.
But we hadn't finished it.
I expect she's finished it.
Oh, well, it's her flaming book.
Yes, that does tend to be how she perceives the matter.
That's it, then. I must be finished. I must be free.
Incidentally, I do have a message about your option.
My option?
Apparently, we have an option on your time and services for a further 6 months.
Oh, well, that won't be needed, will it?
I understand we're taking it up. Miss Shapiro has spoken to your agent.
But I don't want it taken up.
Your agent has agreed.
6 months? What do they want with me for another 6 months?
Expect it'll be to do with marketing.
Oh, I'm a writer, not a salesman.
I expect you'll be getting a memo.
Shall I tell you something, Ellen?
Mm-hmm.
You're getting as hard and calculating as Marlene Shapiro.
Not at all. But I'm learning.
Frank, I have a craving. I am rabid for breadsticks. Oh. Pass me three.
That must be jet lag, Marlene. When did you get in?
8 o'clock this morning. Butter. Mm-hmm. Where's the butter? Ah.
So, congratulations on your elevation.
Thanks.
Does that now put you above me on the global scale?
I guess. Editorial Vice President International sounds higher than Executive Head of Marketing Europe. Wouldn't you say?
It has more of a global ring to it.
Plus, I get stock with my job. How about you?
I'm afraid not. I must admit, with the reorganization subsequent upon the merger...
The takeover, yeah.
Yes, I can't help feeling that I've been shunted somewhat into a backwater.
Well, I'd say your situation can be pretty much what you make of it. It's a matter of asserting yourself. What you need is to originate some huge success. You need a winner.
Well, quite. To make them sit up and take notice. But unfortunately, the major projects do seem to emerge from across the water.
True. Except the fatal flaw.
Ah, the fatal flaw. High hopes, I understand.
10 million sales, no problem. But I want us to double that.
That would be a tremendous project.
You want to handle it?
I'd certainly like to. If we're talking in those kind of figures, I definitely
would. Now, you've got to be ruthless. It could be your winner. But you'd have to fight your corner like a tiger.
The hungry young fighter all over again, eh?
Right. I got the ideas, I got the sums. I need a hungry fighter to make them work.
Marlene, I think you've got one.
Here's to it, Frank.
Let me just tell you, Matthew, one or two of our ideas.
Okay.
It all sounds very exciting, Frank.
Oh, it is, Dennis. It really is. It's going to do us all a lot of good. So we must all pull together.
Go on, then. One of your ideas.
Fine. Good. Now, your family in the book, the
Noir Duponts.
The Noir Duponts.
Marvellous name. Says it all.
On the principle that, A, everybody loves to read true revelations, and, B, we all love a mystery, we are going to put it subtly about in the media that the Noir Duponts are based on a real, famous and respected New England family who suffer from a comparable fatal flaw.
I think that is tremendous.
The sales potential of notoriety, you see. Everybody will want to identify this family of secret murderers. Is it the Rockefellers? Is it the Kennedys? So, everybody will want to buy the book. Simple, really.
Tremendous.
It stinks.
Yes. We thought you might feel that way.
Keep me out of all this, Dennis. I thought we were here to discuss the author's promotional tour.
Frank?
Yes, that's quite right. So let's put the public awareness concepts aside. Now, the tour. What I feel is essentially this, and I've taken advice from New York on this one.
And I go along with it.
Matt Brand. The public will want to see Matt Brand. We want them to see Matt Brand. Matt Brand is going to become a star.
A superstar.
Now, as I look at you, Matthew, and I talk to you, I see a writer, and a damn good writer. I do not, and from me this is a tribute, I do not see a superstar. I do not see Matt Brand.
Are you saying you want me to pretend to be something I'm not? To go round America, the world, pretending to be your idea of Matt Brand?
Not exactly. No. You've done your bit, Matthew. We want to let you off the hook. So, we're going to hire somebody else to play the part of Matt Brand. An actor.
An actor?
An unknown, of course, but very talented. Jeff Douglas, a New Zealander.
You've already hired this man?
Think about it, Matthew. It means you're not forever saddled with that false identity. You'll be free to write your serious novels.
But I wrote that book. It's a despicable lie to pretend that somebody else did. It's going too far. I can't agree to it, Dennis. Okay? I won't agree.
Contractually, of course, the question doesn't arise, in that your agreement is not necessarily required.
But in fact, I have agreed, on your behalf.
Thanks, Dennis.
You must get on with your next project.
I think you'll find the financial arrangements satisfactory.
And you'll still be taken to and from your office 6 days a week.
The whole world's smart.
Morning. Del Ransom, Internal Security.
Carry on, just ignore me.
Internal Security? What are you doing?
Individual personnel supervision duty. Oh, your bodyguard, pal. Didn't they tell you?
Bodyguard? Is this a joke?
Typical. Memos take days to get round, don't they? Why they can't just pick up the phone and tell you what's what straight out, I don't know. You fancy a mint?
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Why should I need a bodyguard?
Oh, it's the death threats, isn't it? Smoker's breath. Filthy habit.
What death threats?
Typical. I have to do their work as well, don't I? This book you've just got coming out in the States, right?
The Fatal Flaw?
Yes, the one.
I didn't know it was coming out yet.
Oh, you are in the dark, ain't you? It's a bit controversial, am I right? Blows the lid off some murky secret, so they say. Must have got on someone's nose. Anyway, they put the black spot on you.
It's just a novel, a thriller. Why would it make anyone want to kill me? I don't believe it.
Well,
it
could be nutters. Could be someone thinking they've got hold of something. These days, there's always someone ready to blow your brains out for a few grand. Me, for instance.
Then they should have told me. And they should have told me the book was out.
Don't blame me. I'm just here to keep an eye on you.
I'm going to find out what's going on. Excuse me.
Hang on. I'm not supposed to let you out of my sight.
So, we'll expect you at 11:30 on Tuesday the 14th. Thank you.
Okay. Where's Marlene?
Good afternoon, Mr. Bradford. I'm afraid Miss Shapiro is in Australia.
Oh, hell! Look, Ellen, what's going on? I've just been told by some bodyguard bloke that my book's already out in America. Is that true?
I imagine you should have a word with marketing.
You know. Come on, tell me.
Ah, the Fatal Flaw. Yes, of course. Didn't you receive the memo concerning the US launch?
You didn't send me any memo. Don't give me that.
Have you been drinking?
That's my business. What about these so-called death threats?
I should call security.
I don't want to call security.
Oh, you're here, are you? Don't you do that to me again, pal.
Here he is. Look, this is my bodyguard.
Del Ransom, internal security.
In that case, Mr. Ransom, would you kindly escort Mr. Bradford back to his office?
Sorry about this, Cal. He shut the lift doors on me, didn't he?
I may be under contract to this lot, but I'm a free man, free to go where I choose.
Of course you are. But you are not free to go there without me. Get it? And if you try and give me the old slip, I may be forced to fracture the occasional bone. Are you with me?
I thought you were supposed to be protecting me.
Sometimes one has to be cruel to be kind. Now, if you...
Ellen, switch off your vibrator and get me the file on Bosco Radansky.
You said she was in Australia.
Talking to Australia.
You lying bitch. Right, I'm going to have this out.
Don't go in there, Matthew.
I've had enough.
Oh, Lord. Here, cut it out. Hey?
God, let go.
Just if you don't go in there, Matthew, eh?
That hurts.
What say I take you home and we watch a bit of snooker on the old box?
Del? Del, where are you?
You all right, my son? You've been in kit for hours.
Sleeping it off, were you? What have you been up to?
Been out, and I. Down the old airline office. Look at this, then, eh? See those tickets? It is going to be great, my son.
Barbados?
The beach, the sea, the crumpet. Oh, we are going to blow our minds.
What is all this?
Courtesy of GME, innit? 6 weeks in the sun. We leave on the 2nd of next month.
They're sending us to Barbados?
Well, why not? They reckon you're going to be safer out there. Your enemies, whoever they are, ain't going to be looking for you out in the old Caribbean, are they?
I don't believe any of this, Del. I don't believe I've got enemies.
Oh, yeah. You've got enemies, all right. Yeah, you've definitely got enemies. Gonna go get some ice.
I'll bet I know what's going on. I'll bet I know.
Global Marketing in Exchange, may I help you?
I want the Vulture Press, please. Marketing division.
One moment.
Thank you for holding. We apologize.
Marketing, may I help you?
Mr. Hegarty's office, please.
One moment.
Frank Hegarty's office, may I help you?
Yes, hello. I'm from the Daily Mirror, the books page. I was wondering if you have a publication date on The Fatal Flaw by Matt Brenn.
Yes, I have it right here. Let me see. The Fatal Flaw will be published in about 3 weeks' time, on the 12th of next month.
The 12th. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Del?
You finished all the vodka. You greedy pig.
Sorry, Del. I'm afraid we won't be going to Barbados.
What?
You shouldn't have told me. Because now I'm going to be alert 24 hours a day. You relax for a moment and I will cause trouble.
That was A Walk in the Black Forest. And just walked into the studio is my next guest, a man whose first novel, The Fatal Flaw, has just created a terrific sensation in America and is about to do the same over here.
I hope so, Peter.
I'm sure it will. It's a terrific book. His name is Matt Brand. Welcome to the show, Matt.
It's my pleasure to be here.
A hot foot from a book signing session, is that right?
It certainly is, Peter. I must say we've been thrilled with the crowds that have come out to meet us in the stores. An awful lot of people are purchasing the book. It's very exciting.
Well, it's not surprising. We're all trying to spot the guilty family.
Oh, I appreciate that, Peter. In fact, I understand that in the States, books are actually being written about my book, you know. They're putting forward theories as to which family the Noir Duponts are actually based upon.
Ah, so it is true. They are based on a real family, are they? Some of whose members are, in fact, secret sex murderers.
That's not for me to say, Peter, but I can confess that in the 3 years I've spent researching the book throughout the eastern states of America, I did turn up some pretty hair-raising stories. But obviously I can't give you any more clues than I've put in the book.
It's tantalizing.
That's true, Peter.
But we'll come back to The Fatal Flaw in a minute, because you have a pretty colourful background yourself, Matt. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely true, Peter. My grandfather out in New Zealand was what you'd call a shepherd. He worked with sheep. But my grandmother, she was a Maori and a very great herbal doctor.
Thank you so much, Mr. Brand. It's for my daughter. Could you sign it to Virginia?
My pleasure.
I did enjoy hearing you on the wireless this morning. What a fascinating line.
Oh, that's very kind. You must listen to Desert Island Discs. I'm on that next week.
Oh, certainly.
Thank
will.
You.
Thank
next,
you.
Please. Oh, afternoon, sir. Who can I sign this book to?
I'd like you to sign it to Matt Brand.
Matt Brand? Well, that's a coincidence.
No, it isn't. I am Matt Brand, and I wrote that book.
I beg your pardon?
You heard. I wrote The Fatal Flaw.
Excuse me, sir.
I wrote that book, not you.
Sorry, boys. Slight problem here.
You're an imposter. You're a liar.
Come on, mate. Get moving.
You're just an actor. I know your name.
Come on, sir. We don't want any trouble, do we?
Your name's Jeff Douglas.
Mind your backs, thank you.
I was there when they cooked all this up in Frank Hegarty's office.
Oh, shut it up.
No! I'll tell the truth.
Sorry about that, folks. Crazies. You get them all over these days. Now, who's next, please? Who shall I sign this to?
Come on, Matthew. Let's go for walkies.
If you like.
Yeah, I do like. Come on. Peaceful, innit?
If you say so.
Oh, still sulking, are we?
I'm not sulking.
Think yourself lucky, Matthew, that they ain't going to press the old assault charges.
I didn't assault anyone.
Yeah, there's three security boys prepared to swear you did. Not very clever, Matthew. How was it?
It was extraordinary. No one would believe me.
Well, they wouldn't, would they? One nutter against the world. Shocking odds. Drink. Little swig from my flask.
No.
Serve yourself. You want a mint?
All right, then. Give me a drink.
Here you are. You want to calm down, Matthew. Relax. You can't win. Just go with it. Enjoy the money, enjoy the pampering. It'll all be over soon.
What do you mean?
Well, must be. I got another assignment in 3 weeks. Oh, look. A pair of squirrels.
So, I'll be free then?
I can get you drugs, you know. Well, if you want drugs.
I don't want drugs.
All right, just keep it cool, okay? And don't cause me no more trouble. There's a love. I wouldn't want to have to use the ultimate sanction now, would I?
Ultimate sanction? What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, don't be naive, my son. That book of yours making them a fortune, isn't it? And you can bet they'll be making another half dozen fortunes out of film rights, so they won't stand for you blowing it all, will they? Not when it'd only cost them a few grand to have me apply the ultimate sanction. Lonely round here, eh?
Do you mean what I think you mean?
You act a bit dodgy. It's down to me to top you, isn't it?
So the only death threat is from you?
I suppose so. You see this shooter?
Oh, God.
Well, is it worth making me do that? Not for 3 weeks.
You'd use it, would you? On me?
I would.
Oh, I can't stand this. I'm going.
Oh, don't be stupid.
I'm going, Del.
I could just pick you off.
I don't care anymore.
It's easy to me, pal.
You wouldn't fire that, Del. You know me too well.
You reckon?
Yes, I do. I'll see you, Del.
I warned you.
Del, don't.
Oh, poor old squirrel.
It's a long way out of town, this house.
They want you to have peace and quiet. Nice place, though. Overlooking that wood. I'll bet that comes alive at night. Into the old voyeurism, are you?
Why move me out of Marble Arch? I don't get it.
Well, they want to use it, don't they? Want you out of their property and into your own.
This is theirs, surely, not mine.
Don't your agent tell you nothing? They've bought you this place out of your earnings, haven't they? Cool. You live in a dream world.
I don't believe this.
Well, you'd better start believing it, mate. You're on your own now. I'm off me old pal.
Is that it, then?
Yep, I'm away. Well, take it easy. And don't get naughty.
Am I being watched? They don't trust me on my own, do they?
There's no problem. You can't do any harm now.
Can't I? I want people to know who I am.
Oh, come off it, Matthew. No one's going to believe you, are they? Not by now.
Excuse me, madam. I see you're carrying a copy of The Fatal Flaw.
Yes, I'm off up to Edinburgh to see my daughter. I like something hefty to read on the train.
I'd simply like to mention
to you... Market research? Is there some kind of questionnaire?
No. I just need to tell you that, actually, I am Matt Brand, the man who wrote that book.
Oh, no, you're not. I've seen him on the television. You're nothing like him.
I am Matt Brand.
Anyway, he's Australian or something.
He's an imposter.
Is this a hoax?
He is the hoax.
Would you please let me pass?
Will you listen? Will you try and make your tiny little brain understand?
Take your hand off my arm. There's a policeman just over there. And if you don't let go, I shall call him.
Matthew.
Hello, Jenny. I was just up here, so I thought I'd drop in. See if I could get a cup of tea. Hope you don't mind.
I don't know. Well, come in.
You shouldn't have done it, Jenny.
It seemed the best thing.
You shouldn't have given up work. It's what made you an individual.
I wanted to.
No, you didn't. Barry wanted you to.
I took the decision. Anyway, we didn't have much choice.
Why? Because you're pregnant.
It's the best thing.
You're giving up, Jenny. Don't. Don't give up.
If you're so bothered about me, why haven't you been in touch? Over a year, nothing.
Didn't seem... appropriate.
Appropriate.
Oh, I thought you'd rather I kept out of your life.
If it didn't suit you, that's the truth.
I had to cut myself off. You remember? To devote myself single-mindedly to winning freedom.
And have you?
I've made a lot of money and... I see you've bought my book.
No. No, I look for it, but I haven't seen it yet.
There, on the bookshelf. The Fatal Flaw.
You didn't write that.
I did. Don't you see? That's why it was all such a secret. I was writing The Fatal Flaw under a pseudonym.
I don't believe you.
It's true.
But I know you. You couldn't have written that.
I could, and I did.
Why are you lying, Matthew? It's a horrible book.
That's not the point.
But Barry bought that copy. I hated it. It's badly written, exploitative, sensational. I couldn't even finish it.
I was made to write it like that. I had to go along with it.
For God's sake, I've seen the man on television. He's a big blonde New Zealander. You're nothing like him.
He's just an actor. It's all a publicity stunt.
That's just stupid.
What's going on? Are you all right, Jennifer?
Barry, I'm sorry. I had to come and see her.
Matthew.
It's okay. Everything's fine.
I warned you, Matthew. I told you never to come near here. Now get out.
I just had to talk to Jenny.
Out. What's he been saying to you, Jennifer?
Oh, nothing. Just nonsense.
It's the truth.
I knew you'd upset her. Now get out. 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 Out.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
I'm sorry to bother you. Can I just have a look at your magazine?
I'm just in the middle of reading it.
Something just caught my eye. A name on the front. Can I look? Only for a second.
All right. Don't lose my place, though.
It seems ridiculous, but... Well, the article you're reading says it's by Matt Brand.
That's why I bought the magazine, actually. He wrote that book, The Fatal Flaw. Oh, I thought that was fantastic. I literally couldn't put it down. Have you read it?
Oh, yes. I've read it. Thanks. I wonder what's going on. What the hell is going on?
My dear Matthew, just relax. It's all perfectly straightforward. Drink your creme de menthe.
But look at it. It's there. Published. Matt Brand. It's a blatant rip-off. I didn't write it.
Quite. Matt Brand, however, did.
I'm Matt Brand.
Matt Brand is a limited company in which the Vulture Press has a major interest, and for which we operate as agents in cooperation with our American partners, and in which we also have a certain direct financial interest.
But the whole thing's a fraud on the public.
Not at all. They get what they pay for.
All right, then. This story. Who wrote this story?
Some American writer, I understand. It doesn't really come into my territory. Marlene Shapiro, of course, makes the creative decisions.
Oh, of course. So, you're all in fine shape, aren't you, thanks to me? You're all well set up. But where am I? Where does all this leave me?
It leaves you very well off indeed. You could live for 10 years on what you've made out of The Fatal Flaw. How many people can say that?
10 years of freedom. What am I supposed to do with it?
That's up to you. Isn't that the point of freedom? Write more books. But, if I might suggest, keep away from 19th century Wolverhampton.
My books did all right.
All right, yes. But publishers are increasingly reluctant to buy a Matthew Bradford book.
But they're good. I'm good. Matt Brand is rubbish, but I'm good.
That might be your problem, Matthew. Perhaps you're simply too good. This is a mass market world.
But, Dennis, aren't you prepared to go out there and fight for me?
In a word, no.
Dennis!
Now, we have to assess our priorities, the artistic aspirations of one client, against the whole structure of our more lucrative business relationships.
But don't you see? If people knew that I wrote The Fatal Flaw, they'd want to see what I wrote next.
Only if you wrote another Fatal Flaw. Well, that's the point of creating Matt Brand. He will write whatever the public requires Matt Brand to write. It removes the element of human fallibility.
I can't just accept this. I won't.
Nonsense. Relax. Have another creme de menthe.
I'm going to fight. I have to.
I've drawn up your schedule, Marlene. There.
Mm-hmm.
Madrid for 3 nights. I've spoken to Julio. He'll meet you at noon and take you back to his apartment as usual.
Julio, I can't wait.
Afraid you'll have to. You have a 2 o'clock meeting.
2 o'clock? That'll give us half an hour. Think I need more than half an hour? Matthew.
Now, look, Marlene. I'm at the end of my tether.
Hey, come on. What about a kiss for your old partner? It's been months.
What? Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
Have a drink.
I've already had a drink.
Well, have another drink.
Excuse me.
The thing is this. Look, I don't quite know how to start. Look, Marlene, I've been cheated.
Hey, drink this. To a great partnership.
Marlene.
Listen, why have you been avoiding me?
I haven't been avoiding you. You know what's been going on. It's as though you've made me a non-person.
We had so much to celebrate. Hell, I wanted to talk new ideas with you.
I've been hidden away. I've been threatened.
Have you eaten? God, I'm hungry. Let's go up the executive roof lounge. I'll buy you lunch. It's a good wine, isn't it?
I couldn't understand what was going on.
Don't apologize.
I'm not.
We've got to look to the future. Tell me your ideas.
My ideas or Matt Brand ideas?
Who gives one? Ideas or ideas? How the package comes later.
Ah, it's difficult.
Come on. You know what we're looking for.
Sure. Sex, violence, superficial glamour.
All those fine qualities that appeal to our potential purchasing units. Tell me a story, Matthew.
I've got no stories.
Matthew.
You killed all my stories.
Come on. Stories all around you.
I can't see them anymore. I don't know how to look.
Just see what catches your eye.
I can't.
Then seek out the commercial angle.
That's it. That's just it. Seek out the angle. You can't see anything straight if you're looking for angles. That's logic. Geometric logic.
Do I hear accusation in your voice, Matthew?
Yes. I'm accusing you, Marlene Shapiro, I'm accusing you of killing me.
You shouldn't shout these things.
Shout! Shout! I had integrity and you killed that. I had identity. You killed that. I don't have identity. There's a man on television pretending to be me. He's going round the world saying he is me. Everyone believes him. And nobody believes that I am me.
Jerry, yes, thank you.
Don't talk to other people when I'm talking to you.
You want coffee?
Don't ignore me. You keep ignoring me. You keep pretending I'm not here. You pay me money not to be here. You give me houses so I don't exist anymore.
Mind the table, okay?
Rot the table!
Fine, you just did.
You don't want me to exist. You deny that I exist, and you've won. I don't exist. I do not exist!
Hello, are you waking up?
I am awake. I have been awake for a while.
Well done.
Are you a nurse?
Oh, yes. Are you hungry?
I feel terribly tired.
That'll be the drugs.
Drugs?
They're wearing off now.
Is this a hospital?
It's a nursing home, Mr. Bradford. You've had a little bit of a breakdown.
A breakdown? What sort of a breakdown?
You'll soon be able to talk to the doctor.
I want to go.
It's not as easy as that. You could have a light meal if you liked.
How long have I been here?
It's not for me to say.
When can I go?
I should have a chat to the doctor.
I haven't had a breakdown. I don't believe it.
Breakdown? It's such a loose phrase, isn't it? What actually do we mean by breakdown?
Well, don't ask me. You're the doctor.
Drink. Alcohol.
What do you mean?
Well, that's what we're here for. over-dependence on alcohol. And let's face it, all dependence is over-dependence, wouldn't you say? Well, now, that can lead to a crisis. And that's where we come in.
So I'm drying out, am I?
I do find layman's terms unhelpfully imprecise. Don't you?
Yes. I see. It's all falling into place. Marlene Shapiro. She had me put in here, didn't she?
Your wife signed the necessary papers, Mr. Bradford. Susan. In the most real sense, you have put yourself in here.
Oh, Susan. Well, thank you for your help. Now I'd like to leave.
Sorry. Rules. We have to be in a position to satisfy the committor before we can agree to a cessation of treatment.
In that case, I should just walk out.
Now, that is, in fact, physically impossible. Security, you see, it's one of the vital services our clients are paying for.
Well, I'm not paying anymore, okay? So that's that.
Funds are available, I'm told.
Not from me.
Perhaps not. But we have a contract to fulfill.
Vulture Press. Is that it? GME?
It's not for me to say, Mr. Bradford. However, for the moment, here you are.
Am I trapped?
You're here. So why not tell me about yourself?
Oh, you know about me.
In your own words.
I'm a writer.
I have teacher written down here.
I wrote novels.
Well, that's your hobby, I'm told.
It's my life. I have written a novel called The Fatal Flaw. You may just have heard of it. It's a huge bestseller worldwide.
Let's stick to reality, shall we? Let's try and separate it from fantasy. We've got plenty of time.
Hello. I haven't seen you before. What are you reading? Mind if I sit here?
No, please do. It's a novel. It's called The Smoke on the Wind. Oh. I found it in the library.
Who's it by, then? Let's have a look. Matthew Bradford. Never heard of him.
I'm Matthew Bradford.
Oh! Sorry. Foot straight in.
It's all right. Matthew Bradford is not wildly famous. That's why I was surprised to come across the book. Funny. I haven't looked at it in nearly 2 years.
I shall read it. My name's Karen, by the way. Karen Lehman. Leo to my dad. Leo. He's a film producer.
Sounds familiar. What do you do for a living?
Ah, therein lies the key to my alcoholic situation. Nothing. Lots of privilege, lots of wealth, lots of parental divorces, lots of opportunities. Sod all motivation.
A confused upbringing?
Precisely. So, what do? I fritter. I go to loads of nightclubs, I gamble, I sleep around a lot. Terrible, isn't it? Still, it beats working down the mines. What do you think of this place?
I resent it.
Resent it? Yes. That's exactly what I do. I resent it, too. It's my mother who loves having me put away, you know. Always has done. I suppose this place works out, in real terms, not much more expensive than when I was a little girl and she used to employ a nanny and send me away to school.
Probably.
I seem to get treated much the same. Which means I behave much the same. I play them up.
I know what you mean. Brings out the brat in me, too.
I bend cutlery.
I leave hot taps running all night.
Well, we both sound extremely sensible and mature to me. I tell you what. Together, we could really fool them.
Oh, really?
Yes, really. You could spend the night with me.
Well, I don't know.
Go on, I don't snore.
You often propose such adventures?
Not often.
Well, you've only known each other for 2 minutes.
I don't improve with further acquaintance.
You don't need to.
Ah, thanks, Matty. There's a tree right outside my window. I'll show you.
Why not? Let's fool them. Yes. Show me.
Funny, isn't it? I never slept with a novelist. I'll expect you to tell me stories. So you reckon that's why you got put in here?
I suppose you think I'm lying. Everybody else does.
I don't think that at all.
Honestly.
I know what goes on in these grotesque organisations, don't forget. I was brought up with it. Sounds true to me.
That is such a relief.
Move your elbow, Matty.
Bloody single bed.
Not too quick. We'll both be on the floor.
Sorry.
No. You know, it's a terrific story. As a story. Forget it's you. It's just a good, rather frightening story. A bit like Kafka.
That's what I thought.
I hate Kafka, but this is good.
I want to expose what goes on and get my own back. Maybe I'll put it in a book. And then he'll publish it.
I wonder, what about my dad? I can just see it as a film. It's a psychological thriller. How about having your life story turn into a multi-million dollar movie?
A movie? A rather grand form of revenge.
Well, let's try, you never know. Would you tell Dad, like you told me?
Well, yes, if you think he'd be interested.
Let's go and see him.
Fine. Just one slight problem. We are, to all intents and purposes, prisoners.
We'll bribe our way out.
Oh, yes. What with? They took all my cash.
I've got everything we'll need. A tame male nurse and 500 quid. I smuggled it in under my wig.
It's a good, good story, Matthew. It's contemporary. I have it in very sharp focus mentally. It's mostly through his eyes, the guy. I'm not sure just how we'd finish it. We need some clever twist. But it's got something. Oh, I can sense it.
It would actually blow the lid off all these crooks. And that's what I want more than anything. But do you think it's commercial?
Matthew, whenever I've made a successful picture, I've always had this feeling. An intuition about the story.
This is very exciting.
For me too. Okay, here's what we do. I've got your narrative on tape. If I may, I'll put it into outline form and produce a treatment. This helps finance up front.
Hang on. Have you decided already to go ahead?
A decision is yes or no, right? I'll think about it is no decision. Not only that, you might take it to someone else. You won't do that, will you?
No, of course not.
Okay. I'll finance you to write up the story as a novel, because that's your skill, right?
That is perfect. And you'd base the script on that?
Assuming the book works out.
I understand.
One point, and this is vital. We keep the project under wraps, yes? We do not breathe a word to a soul. Piracy is everywhere.
I know that. These people are gangsters.
Go away, find the sun. Maybe the Seychelles.
The Seychelles?
And there you must work, quiet and secret. Do you want Karen with you?
She's a terrific girl.
Okay. Her job is to make sure you write that book and write it well. Through my office, we'll fix you flights and accommodation. How about a villa?
A villa in the Seychelles? It sounds unbelievably perfect.
I want it perfect, because I want a good job from you. So, the deal is this. A year from today, you walk into this office and you lay down on that desk a completed typescript of your novelization of your own story. Deal?
Mr. Lehman, it's a deal.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you for believing me and for giving me back to myself.
Don't forget now, a year from today.
Dad, the Seychelles are just incredible.
I see it. You look like natives.
Mr. Lehman, as promised, 12 months to the day, here's the book.
And on the exact right desk. Good fella. Oh, you look great.
Don't you?
I feel great. I feel the whole experience is purged.
I want to show you something. Come on through to the viewing theatre.
What are we going to see?
Dad, you don't want me anymore, do you, just at the moment?
Not right now. I have the manuscript, so your job is done. Through here, Matthew.
See you later, then. Bye, Matty.
See you, Mallow.
Goodbye.
Now, I just want you to see what we can do, Matthew. It's not quite the final cut, but you'll get a pretty good idea. Oh, by the way, GME are thrilled.
GME? Global?
They financed the project. Roll it, Dave. A blockbuster. That's the word on it.
What is the film?
Oh, we don't yet have the title sequence completed, so we start in with the opening scene. The music is provisional, but I think you'll like it. Mozart.
Oh, to hell with her.
Calm down, then.
I'm just angry at the unfairness of it.
Don't wave your arms about those kids at soccer practice. They're watching us.
Oh, does it matter?
I'm giving them a
chance. I know that sports field. You film that at Hanley Green.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's just her selfishness gets to me. I've got a novel being published on Thursday. So what does Stella do? She walks out on Sunday.
It rings true.
She's self-centered, insensitive.
Okay.
It's not all right.
Don't shout at me. I'm
on
your
Jennifer.
Side.
Yeah, we had to call her Janet.
Keep calm. You have an afternoon's work
here.
That's
no,
my life.
No,
we agreed.
I didn't tell you.
My book, I've only just written
the
it. You've cheated me.
I'm going to be
You'll
on the radio.
Make a fortune.
Yeah. It's about my book.
You've stolen my life.
In The Fatal Flaw by Chris Allen, Matthew Bradford was played by Martin Reed and Marlene Shapiro by Margaret Robertson. Jennifer was played by Rosalind Adams, Barry and the Radio Interviewer by Russell Keith Grant, Ellen and Claire by Jill Lidston, Dennis Foster by John Sampson, Ziggy Martin by Ronald Herdman, Del Ransom by Steve Hodson, Frank Hegarty and Leo Lehman by Alan Dudley. Matt Brand and the Doctor were played by Lewis Rowe, Karen and the Edinburgh Lady by Miranda Forbes, the Disc Jockey and the Film Matthew by Stephen Garlick, the Nurse and the Film Janet by Caroline Wilkins, Ruth and the Lady on the Train by Vanessa Knox-Moore, Julie and the Lady Shopper by Stella Forge. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Fatal Flaw was directed by Christopher Venning.